Well, welcome back to another episode this week of Providence Coffee Talk. Pastor Charles here, and I'm excited about this episode because it's going to continue the process of talking about the family and the church, and we're going to look at some stuff like that today. But it's even more exciting because this is kind of our first interview episode, and we're excited about doing more of these in the future. But for this week, I'm especially excited about it because I was able to con my wife, Melina, into doing this episode with me. And so you'll hear from her in just a second. But before we get too far into it, I want to give you guys a couple quick reminders of some things happening this week. We had a great service Sunday. I thought everything went real smooth, and just the baptisms that we get to have and just the amazing things that God's doing. So I'm excited about the future of Providence. With that in mind, this coming Sunday is our homecoming service on Sunday, October 20th. And so we're going to be talking a little bit more in that service about the purpose of Providence and what that looks like for us moving forward. So I really encourage you, be here for that. And if you got some friends that maybe you're saying, hey, I'd love to try to find a church that I can kind of call my home church, this is a great Sunday to get plugged in and know more about who we are, as well as just get to enjoy some great fellowship. We're going to have food afterwards because you can't meet as Baptists without food. So we're going to have some food. It's going to be a good time. We're going to take up a special offering. That special offering is going to really be geared towards the growth that we've seen and trying to maximize our ability to grow and continue growing as a church. The other thing is it's going to really focus on missions as well. You know, over a quarter of what we bring in goes directly to mission ventures. So be prepared to give that Sunday. It's a great Sunday to give and be a part. And so we want to encourage you to do that as well. But with that in mind, you know, one of the things that we've been doing is we've been asking you guys for different topics coming in. And there's been a series of questions that have kind of hit the email, I guess you could say, or even just in conversations walking down the hall. And a lot of it has kind of centered around the family and church, or even the family and spirituality. So for our sake, we're really kind of calling this time the family and church, but know that there are moments here where it will bleed over away from church into just general spirituality. And so I think today is going to be one of those episodes. But without further ado, I do want to say I'm excited because today I have Melina as my kind of co-host interviewee. I don't know what to call you on that. What should I call you?
I don't know.
Melina?
You can interview me.
I can interview you. That's oh. Right. Why do you love me? No, I'm just kidding. We're not going
to.
But what I loved is on this specific topic, I almost said Pacific, like I'm not sure what to do with my life. But on this specific topic, we are going to be addressing something that was brought up to me, and it dealt specifically with the family and the dynamics of family when other people outside your immediate circle, I guess, don't necessarily believe the same things that you believe. So I'm kind of having to loosely interpret the meaning behind it. And the way I'm kind of interpreting it, and Melina, you can correct me if I'm maybe wrong here, but the way I'm kind of interpreting it is people have questions on how do you have the conversation, or how do you maybe even explain yourself to your family? Maybe like, I don't know, we're just going to throw out like grandparents or great grandparents or cousins or maybe step families, things like that. How do you explain your belief system and why your family does what they do when you've got people that don't fully understand that? And so what I do like about this is Melina does have a background in counseling and working with families. And so she's helped me out a lot. And so if she can help me out a lot, I feel like she can help anybody. But we're just going to kind of open the floor for that. And the way that I kind of see that and interpret that understanding and looking at dynamics is every single family has its own unique dynamic, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so how then, like when we think about even our family and the way that we communicate to the people around us, I mean, there are some things that we do that are similar, I think, to other families, but then there are things that we do that I think that are unique to us. And sometimes people kind of think that it's a little bit wonky. Like, how, what are some things that we've done? Because I look to you a lot for just kind of the advice on what to do and how, but what are some things that we've done maybe in the past to kind of say, well, you know, as a family, this is what we do. And then when we get pushback from that, you know, how do we kind of handle that? I know that's a very loaded question.
Well, not all values have to be explained or defended. We feel like we have to defend ourselves, I think, to a certain extent, or explain why. When it's confronted, I think we feel a need to explain ourselves. But I think within your own family, and I mean like household dynamic, you have the values that you have between you, your spouse, and your children. And those are, I think, most important to be clearly defined and practiced within your own home, so that when you're outside of that, or family members or people outside that come in, experience what you live.
So it's really that defining aspect then, because you can't defend what you can't explain. Am I a little off on that one? Probably.
No. I don't think you're off on that. I think it's such a broad topic that it's hard to narrow down, because I don't think there are clear rules to follow and how to defend or express your values, because different situations call for different expressions of how you're going to have that boundary of those values. I think one thing that's important is you discuss them within your family. These are common things that you talk about, because how you operate is decided in your by your you and your spouse, and then lived and expressed with your children on a daily basis. And so when they are around other situations where those values don't align, ideally you've already discussed and talked about these things in ongoing conversations with your children, so that they understand this is why we do things, how we do things, how we understand things to be. And when other people, other families, or even within our own family have differences, they still understand that we hold those values whether someone else does or not.
Well, and I think the bigger piece there is making sure that, like what you said, making sure that as a family, everyone is in agreement and understanding what those values are. And I think the important thing that we've tried to do where we can is include the kids in on that conversation, because even kids within, like even siblings, I think from a young age, even to an older age, can take that system, I guess, that kind of value system, and they can make it like they may not honor the values, I guess, that you've placed forward as a family. So one of the things that we do when we talk to our kids is they may say something mean to their sibling, and we don't just go, "Hey, that's not nice to say." Because anybody can say that, but we remind them that doesn't honor your brother, or that doesn't honor your sister. Because in our house, one of the things we try to always preach to them, I guess, not really preach, but proclaim to them. So yeah, preach, is we're here to fight for one another. We're here to take care of one another. And that's one of our values, I think, as a family, is that we try our best to just stick together in all things. But I think including the kids in on that helps, so that when I've seen it where members outside the immediate, and when I say family, I'm going to say a husband, wife, kids, where people outside of that maybe try to speak into that kid's life to get an angle and bypass the parents. And so I think if you can begin the process of instilling values in the kids from an early age, and the family values in from the early age, it prevents, it kind of, like you said, puts that boundary up to where other people in the family can't come in and be like, "Well, don't you think it's a little weird that your family does this?" It's like, well, Maybe, but that's what my family does.
Open dialogue within your own family helps children navigate when someone is intruding on your family values. And some people, you know, we say people, but if we even talk about extended family members, may not be intentionally trying to disrupt something. That's always a possibility. But I don't know how often, you know, when we talk about values is very important. It's what you live by, it's what you don't, that don't often shift, versus preferences. And I think sometimes we confuse those. We have preferences that aren't necessarily moral. You know, they're amoral. There's not a value on our preferences. And those are things that are, I think, a little bit more flexible. Values, I don't think, fall within the flexible category.
So if we said step one is, you know, one of the things to help prevent the disruption of your family dynamic, you know, step one would be to sit down as a family and say, you know, who are we as a family? What do we believe? What do we hold to be like valuable? In other words, what are some firm things that you're not going to let go of? So step two, let's say that there's somebody that comes into, that tries to come into the family and disrupt your family dynamic. Let's say like it's a step parent type thing. So you have maybe that you have been, you know, remarried and you have like a step family type situation. And one of the other spouses tries to come in and disrupt that family dynamic. And I know that that's kind of maybe a weird way to say it, but you can really look at that anyway. Even in a traditional family setting, it could be an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, or it could be, you know, anybody that might be close to your family. Let's say somebody comes in and tries to disrupt that family dynamic. What approach do you take then to say, hey, listen, I understand what you're trying to do, but the reality is I'm going to dunk your head in a toilet and flush it if you keep doing this. So what?
I mean, I think there's no difference between family and non-family when we follow the biblical approach to conflict, which is you speak directly to someone.
Yeah.
As always, the first step.
By flushing their head in a toilet. She's looking at me like I'm ridiculous.
Yes. That doesn't solve any problems, Charles. Well, we keep talking about that.
It did when I was in school.
I mean, as is anything, when you have to have an uncomfortable conversation, but it gets to the point where it becomes necessary to protect you and your family, then, of course, you pray. Mm-hmm. And ask the Lord to, you know, help guide you and give you words and things like that. But if it's a necessary to confront, then you do that.
Yeah.
However uncomfortable it might be, but not everything can be easily confronted or need to be confronted, because sometimes with boundaries, it's what we do in response to someone not respecting them, not what we expect someone to do.
Yeah.
Because of our boundary.
I think one of the tools that I've used in the past at times, and hopefully none of my family listens to this, but is to deflect. So there are moments where sometimes people will say something and I think that their intentions behind it are well-meaning, but through the saying something, it comes across as kind of what I would kind of call a jab at maybe what you believe or what you hold true. And so instead of just pausing it right there and saying, okay, we're going to talk about that right here. Sometimes it's just like, well, hey, tell me about what's going on with so-and-so. And so instead of actually addressing, you redirect
you can't confront every single instance when someone does something you don't like.
No.
Then you're not going to have friends. Yeah. And eventually no family.
And the key is too, you don't have to be friends with everybody. I think that's hard for me because I want to be friends with everybody, but
that's where this topic is so broad.
Yeah.
Because not everything is a fight. Not everything is something you have to confront. When it's a repeated violation of a value of your family that creates a sense of, you know, unsafety. Mm-hmm. So if it's unsafe, you know, whether it's an appropriate boundary with, you know, forcing a child to give a hug that they don't want to give, you know, those sorts of things that I think are becoming more common conversation. And more recognizable conversation that we didn't used to have 20 or 30 years ago. I think boundaries have come to light a lot more. So when it comes to the safety of your family. Those are non-negotiable things that you address, whatever the fallout. And then other things that fall into secondary categories that may not promote the values that you want your children to be exposed to, then you would have the power as a parent to limit the exposure they have to other people or other family members.
Yeah. And I think too, that it's one of those things. I think for our family, if it was something that was on, you know, one side of the immediate family to the other, in other words, like, you know, if you've got a sister-in-law or brother-in-law that is coming in and causing an issue or stirring something up, or if you've got a cousin from, like, maybe your husband or your spouse is real close to their cousin, and that cousin's kind of coming in and making comments to the other spouse. I mean, it's kind of a weird way to describe that situation, but I've seen what happens a lot of times is it's not the spouse's, the husband's immediate family that comes to him. A lot of times it's the husband's family that goes to the wife, and they bypass the husband and just go straight to the wife and start making the comments. And then the husband kind of sits there and is like, I don't know what to do about that. You know, I don't know what you want me to do.
Man up and take care of it.
Yeah, take care of it. And so that's just kind of a broad kind of understanding.
Well, as, you know, the mom and dad, husband and wife, you have to be a team. Mm-hmm. Be willing to, when you draw a line, you both hold it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to have perpetual conflict and you're not going to get anywhere. But again, I mean, these are like, I don't even know how to describe it. This is when these are huge issues.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't really have a lot of huge issues that we have to confront, but they're minor issues that build up over time.
Yeah. And I think some of these issues, that they stem from people's growth and understanding. Like, sometimes it's the environment they grew up in. They don't know any better. And so you can't hold that against them. I mean, you don't want to sit there and be like, well, but at the same time, you don't want it to be an excuse. Like, I wouldn't let somebody come in that grew up in an environment that where physical violence was a regular part of their home. I don't think that I would let them come into our home and say, oh, you know, you could really solve this if you just beat the snot out of your kids all the time. Be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a really good approach. Let me take that into consideration, you know, because there's a lot of people didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And you've got generations of people that have grown up, I think, with that. And so then they look at your family dynamic and they go, well, wait a second. You don't do this. It worked when I was a kid. You know, I mean, that's that same kind of approach that we talked about. Like we talked about before, that people will say, well, when I was growing up, well,
you know, comments are not necessarily violations of your values.
Right.
Other family members have comments on how you parent. And you don't have to take into consideration anything.
Yeah.
It goes against the values that you have in your home. I think one of the things, though, that a big value that sometimes isn't always respected within families is your value of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the time that belongs to you and your family, or how you want to order that time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there can be demands from family, you know, and we can also be demanding of family. We have to look at ourselves too. Are we respecting the time of our other family members, you know, outside of our household?
Yeah.
But again, this topic is so broad. We can go so extreme as to, you know, something that affects the safety of your family and your children.
Right.
Versus something that also affects the balance and rhythm to keep your family healthy.
Right.
And so it's a huge topic. So it's kind of hard to narrow down where and when to draw lines, when and when not to confront. What is something you can redirect? What is something that you just discuss with your children? Hey, I heard so-and-so say this. This doesn't really go with what we talk about in our home. What do you think about that?
Yeah. And I think too, let's look at it from that spiritual aspect then, because, you know, we want to start kind of putting a bow on this a little bit as best we can. Looking at it from the spiritual aspect, say that everybody's good with how you run your family, how your family kind of, you know, meshes and does, and even the interaction that your family has within the rest of the family. So, you know, everybody's good. Everything's kosher. You know, there's no issues, there's no problems. But when it comes down to like the core beliefs of what you believe to be true, maybe they just find that to be, especially instilling that in your children, maybe they find that to be overbearing or too much. Like, I mean, I know that we've talked about again in a roundabout way, that's your value and your boundary that you've set up. So, you know, tough cookies type thing. But how do you speak that gently into another person, especially somebody that you may be close to? How do you speak that gently, that this is our spiritual life? And when it comes to the way that we see our family and we see the world around us, when it comes to the way that we even serve in our church, we prioritize these things because of this. So, I mean, a good way is kind of like, how do you kind of steer it to where you're not losing that relationship? You don't want to lose that relationship, but you do want to be very firm and say, this is my faith, and it's not to be mocked or messed with or touched.
Well, I mean, you can say, I'm always open to talk about what and why we believe these things as a family, especially in regards to Jesus and how we trust and follow him. And so whenever there's unkind comments or accusations or things like that, being open to talk about the things that you believe, if it's going to be confronted, you know, if we're sticking within the family or extended family system, if that's confronted, then you can be willing to have open dialogue, you know, with respect. But if there's not respect, then, you know, you can wait patiently until, you know, that door can open again. If it comes to maybe extended family sharing beliefs that don't align with what you believe, then you become the gatekeeper of what your children are exposed to and what your children hear. But also there's an open dialogue in your own home about what you believe and why. Mm-hmm. And then you look at scripture together. So it's not this blind obedience and this blind faith. This is open dialogue that is as you are going on your daily lives. And so your children are already protected because they have a biblical worldview, or they have the understanding of mom and dad have a relationship with Jesus, and this is what it looks like in their life. I want that, you know. And then if extended family doesn't believe that, then you're that gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, someone has a belief that is, you know, not biblical, or if, especially as Christian families, if it's not a Christian belief or value, then that is something you openly discuss with your children. If it is targeted towards them, then again, you're that gatekeeper, and you don't allow that to, you know, you don't allow that one-on-one opportunity, or you address it when it's, you know, spoken out loud, if it's continual bombardment. I don't know how many people experience, you know, that as a constant thing within their families. I mean, I'm sure some people do.
Yeah.
But I think different situations will call for different ways that you address when you need to assert and be clear about what your values are. And when it becomes a dialogue with your family and your kids, not necessarily something you confront with someone else.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, yeah.
We're kind of creating hypothetical scenarios that aren't really very specific. So it's kind of hard to have a clear application, because sometimes it's never just black and white. It's never just, oh, this and this and this.
Yeah. I mean, and if you are listening, you can always send in stuff that's specific, and you can change
the examples would help me, I think, be a little more be a little easier to understand and have a clear picture of how.
And I think that's the good part, because then, you know, you can change the names. It doesn't matter. You say person X, who is,
I have this friend who
that's what we do in pastor conferences at times. It's like, say I've got this buddy and he's at a church, and so you never want to explain what you're going through, but you want to talk about. Anyway.
So there'll probably have to be a part two.
There'll have to be like a part seven,
more
I think.
Specific.
Five, six, and seven.
It's hard to give, you know, a clear picture when there's so many you know, what about this and what about that? But I think specifically when it comes to values, it's important that it's an open dialogue within your family and that everything is purposeful and intentional and points to Christ. And that's where you start before you can confront or set boundaries with anyone else in your life that's outside of your household.
Well, that's kind of a good, I think, stopping point for this point. And let me just kind of encourage you in this too. There are some things that we've kind of talked about today that aren't just things that we've made up in our head, but a lot of times it's stuff that we've read or that we've picked up on through just years of ministry and walking with families and kind of talking with them through different scenarios. But there are some resources that I think are helpful, and I'm going to name at least one of them. I know Melina might have one or two. I'll see. I know the top one we both have, and that's a resource if you're interested in kind of what this could look like for you and even your family. There's a good kind of basic book called Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend, and I have multiple copies of this in my office. And I hand it out like candy. You know, most pastors hand out peppermints to kids. I hand out boundaries.
That makes me very proud.
Yeah, I don't want to bring kids into church through candy. I want them to have appropriate boundaries. But it's a really good book, and I'll put the Amazon link in this week's episode so that if you want to check that out, you can go do that, or you can just come see me and Wednesday or just whenever, and I'll hand you a copy if I've got some left. But are there any resources that kind of, I know that I'm throwing you on the spot here because I didn't have you prepare for resources, but is there anything that you might recommend?
It's called the Bible, and the reason why I recommend it, I joke with you, but, and in the Boundaries, book, there's scripture in it, but I think when we understand scripture, it gives us a sense of confidence in what we need to do for our families.
Yeah.
And it gives us not only things to share with our own family, with our children, so that they have God's word in their heart. But it allows us, I think, as parents, keepers of our household, to be armed with truth, and truth gives us confidence.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that I think has been passionate for Melina and I too, over the years of ministry. You know, we started off working with teenagers and families, and I think even now that's still a big heart of ours, is just working with teenagers and kids and their families, and not just from immediate family, but also even through the grandparent stage of helping grandparents understand how to be involved in the spiritual life of their kids and in their grandkids. And so, if this is something that interests you, one of the things we can always look at and explore is building a family resource library, where you as a parent, can look through different resources and try to find books that might match what you need for that moment at that time. That's all, again, this is always something that's passionate to us, and I hope that it is to you as well. And again, broad topic here, but it's really hard to cover all the groundwork for it. So if you want more information on this,
give us more information.
Yeah, give us a few more specifics.
Specifics, I think, help give a little bit more direction.
Yeah. We can sit and explode anything out and just kind of really try our best to bring in just some thought process on it. And, you know, even there are moments where if we may not have all the answers on that, we might be able to find someone, or we know someone that could even just phone call in and say, hey, I can help you out on that. So whatever that looks like, we're here to help you guys. We're here to assist you guys. We're here to just be a part of that. But we're going to wrap it up for this week because I want to make sure that you've got time to get to wherever you're going or to accomplish whatever you're doing as you're listening in. But don't forget, if you've got any questions or comments, we want to hear those things. You can send them to charles@pbcshawboro.com. And I promise you, I read those when you send them in. So please do that. And we are just thankful that you guys took a moment to listen. And again, anything that we can do to help you, anything that we can do to be an assistance to you, we're here to do that. So Providence family, hope it's a good week. Hope you have a great time, and I look forward to hearing from you.